I'm sorry.
I thought
上上去，我也是不上那样。
他不是说的，
我没吃过上过去，哎，好。203什么都没有吗？
With holy hands the dance to
$398.
Right.
Number two.
Come thou, Almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father of glory, all of victory, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come thou in heart and word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer again. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success.
Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come to be with us here at the Reedsville Church. We were not here last second Sunday. Elder Chris Burton filled in for me, and I understand you had a good meeting. He was recovering from a brain operation, and yet I understand he did very well. And we're thankful for that, and we're certainly thankful that he's recovering. We're glad to have Brother Robertson with us today. He's taking chemotherapy treatment, and he says he's not doing too good, but he's here, and we're glad that he can come and be with us. And we're certainly thankful for each and everyone present, and pray that the Lord will bless our efforts. He's promised to do that if we assemble in His name, and I believe we have, and He's faithful. He cannot fail, and so we're thankful for that. We're thankful, as my neighbor tells me about every morning, he said that one of the most things that he's thankful for is he's a Primitive Baptist. And I think what he's really saying is he's thankful he's a Christian, or called a Christian. And when we behold the darkness, gross darkness, that's in the world, it is indeed a great privilege and mercy that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Then we consider the billions in the world that don't believe that. We are indeed a privileged people. Now, I do believe that there are people that do not believe that Jesus is the Christ or the children of God. I certainly believe that. But yet, they do not have the joys of the visible church here, nor the communion, I feel like, that comes from the fellowship we have by having the gospel and believing from the heart that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and He came and sacrificed His life for us, instituted the church a place where we can come and have fellowship with Him, with His Father, and with one another. It is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I was thinking, coming up, of the gross darkness of the natural mind. Apostle Paul in the second Ephesian letter said, "Ye once were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Didn't say we were in darkness. He said, once you were darkness. The natural mind is completely dark to spiritual things, according to the Word of God. It cannot receive spiritual things. The natural mind is at enmity with God. Neither indeed can it know the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And I think I appreciate more and more every day, knowing that life will soon be gone for a lot of us, how wonderful it is to have that blessed truth. I believe Jesus said that Apostle Paul wrote that hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And it entereth within the veil wherein our forerunner is gone, even Jesus, who is our hope. So He is our hope. He is our life. He is our light. He is our love. He is our liberty. He is our all in all. And we're thankful for this privilege again of being here. I've turned to number 14 as a opening hymn, Kindred in Christ, written by John Newton, man that wrote Amazing Grace. And I believe he was a spiritual man and appreciated spiritual things and the fellowship we have with believers. So sing, brethren, when you're ready. May stand if you like.
Kindred in Christ, for His dear sake, a hearty welcome here receive. May we together now possess the joy which only He can give. May He, by whose kind care we meet, send His good Spirit from above me, our communication sweet, and cause our hearts to burn with love. Forgotten be each worldly thing when Christians meet to gather thus. We only wish to speak of Him who lived and died and reigns for us. We'll talk of all He did and said and suffered for us here below, the path He marked for us to tread, when He's doing for us now.
Thus as the moments pass away, we'll love and wonder and adore and hasten on that glorious day when we shall meet to part no more.
We'd like to take this opportunity before we go to prayer to thank everybody for the gifts that you have given me today and all during the year. This is a time of year that the world celebrates the birth of Christ, and we don't know when that was, but it's come to be a tradition to celebrate His birth on 25th of December. It's pretty certain that was not the time He was born, but nevertheless, thank God He was born, and we do. But it's His death that we're commanded to observe, because He offered his body as a sacrifice to pay for our grievous sins. And he said, take, eat, this is my broken body for you. And he took, he gave the wine and said, this is my blood, given a ransom for many. So that's what we are to observe, and the ordinance of baptism, when we are blessed to believe in the Lord and confess him publicly before men, to join the church, why we believe that water baptism is the door into the visible local church. I do believe that we are to be a member of the universal church before we do that. And that comes in through the new birth. And water baptism has nothing to do with it. That is solely by the sovereign work of the Spirit of God. Man is passive in that. He's dead in trespasses and sins, and a dead man can't do nothing. So in a spiritual sense, he does not contribute anything to the new birth. But after the new birth, we're commanded to take up our cross and follow him, to be a witness for him in this dark and unbelieving world. And it's a great miracle to believe in Christ and to have the hope in your bosom that one day you'll be raised from the dead with a glorified body to live forever and forever in his presence. Bow with us. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we humbly bow, thanking thee, dear Father, that we can come to thee, trusting in the merits and the righteousness of Christ, knowing, O Lord, that we would be banished from thy presence forever, because thou art holier than to look upon sin. And we have grievously sinned against thee, and Lord, how we thank thee for thy mercy and grace that has rescued us from our lost and ruined condition. We thank you, dear Lord, for thy church, for the kingdom of God that now is placed in our hearts, that we might trust and believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith behold his loveliness in his offices as our prophet, priest, and king. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity once again assembling ourselves together to worship thee. Dear Lord, we pray that thou would give us the leadership of thine unerring spirit, that we truly might worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we might have fellowship with thee and with thy dear children, that we might once again feel thy presence and feel like, O Lord, that we are truly thine and thine are ours, and thou hast loved us and gave thyself for us. Lord, we pray that thou would work in our hearts in such a way that we might live in a manner that would honor thee. We might be witnesses and testimonies of thy marvelous grace. Lord, we pray for the sick and the afflicted and for those that are infirm in bodies, for Brother Robertson who's being treated for cancer. Dear Lord, we know that thou art the great physician and all thou hast to do is speak and we should be healed. And we know, O Lord, that thou hast said there should be tribulations in the world, but to be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Lord, we pray that we might in all things have the victory through thee, be of good cheer, because thou hast overcome the world. And now, Lord, once again, we pray thou would bless this service for the fathers of this service to the honor and the praise of thy great and wonderful name. We pray for our rulers, our leaders, and all that's our bounden duty to pray for our sons and daughters that are fighting for our liberties on foreign soil. Lord, we pray thou would grant us the victory over them that would destroy our culture, our life, and everything that we love so dearly. These mercies and blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. As we've already said, this is the time of year that we celebrate the birth of Christ. I never have preached on Christmas and its trappings and so forth, but today I'd left the preacher. I'll take some scripture that I believe sets forth in parables the age of Christianity, the time that we're living in, from the time that Christ came and set up his church until he comes again. It's known as the gospel dispensation. He said up until John was Moses and the prophets, but now the kingdom of heaven is preached. And the kingdom of heaven is not a territory. We're not talking about the glory world that we hope to go to. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven that's right in here, if we belong to him. He says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we have seven gospels that we believe describe to his believing children how the kingdom of heaven will fare in the world, and describes its progress, and how the world looks at it, or the world religion, and how the Lord looks at it himself. It's divided into, it's said, seven parables. Seven is a number of perfection in the scriptures. It's a number of completion. The earth was made in 6 days, and on the seventh day the Lord rested, and the next day was a new week, beginning of a new week, start all over again. So seven stands for completion and perfection. Three is the number of deity. There are three persons in the Godhead. Four is a peculiar number associated with the world. The world has four points on the compass, has four seasons of the year. Practically all of his mammals and creatures have four limbs. They either have four legs, or two legs and two arms, or two legs and two wings. And four is peculiarly associated with the world. So he divides these seven parables into four and three. So we'll start reading and trust the Lord will bless us in this effort. The same day, in the 12th chapter, the Lord has come to his own, and his own received him not. This is Matthew, the first gospel of the New Testament. It's the first word that's been given by inspiration since Malachi. That was 400 years before. So Matthew is a peculiar gospel associated declaring that Jesus is the Son of David. He's the promised Messiah. David said that the Lord promised him that of his seed should come and sit upon his throne forever, and it would never, never fade away. And so this gospel is peculiarly, the theme of it is to declare that Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of David. And he's the Messiah, the promised one. And so it says that he came to his own rejected him. Now he has sealed their doom, so to speak, as far as being a part of a covenanted public worshiping body. For 1,500 years, Israel had been the only nation in the world that could approach God as a nation and as a public people. They had received the law of Moses, they had been rescued from Egypt, and they were his peculiar treasure. But now they had rejected him, they had rebelled against him time and time again. And it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. The sea has represented the restless masses of the world of people over and over in the scriptures. You go back to Nebuchadnezzar, the dreams and the things, and the restless sea speaks of the restless, depraved nature of the masses of people as they are formed out in the world without God, without hope, without nothing but the dark, unregenerate mind to guide them. And so this restless sea is a representation. So he has left the house. He's left Israel. He's come out of the house and sat down by the seaside to the Gentiles. He's left them and gone to the Gentiles. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into his ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. As we said, he has departed from them now, and he's gone to the Gentiles. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God, word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now we need to explain here now that these parables are talking about the responsibility of the hearers. It's not talking about the sovereignty of God in the new birth, which he alone acts in. But he's addressing the responsibility of his dear people. They have been called out of the world, chosen, called, quickened, and they belong to him. And it is their responsibility and the duty to follow him, to obey his commandments. And Israel did not do that, and they've been rejected. Now he's appealing to the responsibility of the Gentiles. And these parables are addressed in that sense. So we need to understand that. We're not talking about the original new birth and all, which the responsibility of man has nothing to do with. But after that, he has a responsibility to keep the commandments of God, to follow him, to follow those things that the Lord has ordered. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so he is describing those that hear the word and let things of the world choke it out, and there's a few that hears the word and they sacrifice. They're willing to turn their back on the world, mother and father and sister and brother if need be, and follow him. And he says, if a man is not willing to forsake mother and father, sister and brother, for my sake, he's not worthy to be my disciple. So we have to sacrifice something. If we're going to have fellowship with the Lord, if we're going to love him and be loved by him, then there's some sacrifices to be made. Anything worth having is worth sacrificing for, working for. And this is true in the kingdom of God after you are a child of God. You don't work to become a child of God, but after you are a child of God, we are commanded to work into his kingdom and to labor that we might enter into his rest. And that's what we're seeing here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, in this first parable, he didn't say the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. He just said that he went out and he said, behold, a sower went forth and sowed. And so we believe that this first parable is describing the time when Jesus himself was here in person. But then as we move on to this, we're talking about the time when he's gone back to be with the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And this is how the kingdom of heaven is progressing after that. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared